Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. As we've just heard, Selected Shorts will be at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts this Saturday night. The theme of the evening's stories is wishes and dreams. The readers are Jane Curtin, Kate Burton, and Campbell Scott. Joe Donahue just spoke with Kate, and now I'm going to chat with Campbell. Campbell Scott, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
What do you enjoy about participating in a Selected Shorts event?
Well, I've done a lot of them, Sarah. Mm-hmm. I do them usually in New York, although I have lived up near Great Barrington for many, many years, sort of on and off, and I've been there a couple times as well. I can't remember what I did at the Mehewi before. I know I've been there once or twice doing readings. I can't remember if it was Symphony Space. I know I did a reading of a John Guare adaptation once, but it's always a great place to visit. It's a cool town and a great audience, and short stories is, you know, it's a totally different muscle and one that is a kind of a joy to get exercised once in a while.
What is the muscle that it flexes?
I imagine, you know, not as hard as writing them, but it's the same kind of strange form. You know, you don't get a long time to make your point. You have to be economical with your characterizations and your inflections and even your opinions, really, while you're doing it. You're just trying to let the writing shine, but you're still, let's face it, trying to, you know, entertain in some way. So all of those things don't really lend themselves to anything else I do. You know, usually I'm either on camera or I'm in a full-length play or something. Or even reading a full-length book is not the same. So it's a joy. You know, you don't have to be there for a long time, but you try to get in and get out and make the points that the author is trying to make and hope that people have a good time.
The theme of this Selected Shorts evening at the Mehewi is wishes and dreams. What story are you reading this weekend?
I'm reading a story called The Big Cat by Louise Erdrich, which I was not aware of before. That's another reason I love doing this, is because Kathy Minton from Symphony Space sends me stuff. And, you know, I think, God, who's this? I know the author, but I mean, where is this story been? I've never seen it before. But it's a kind of a beautiful, again, economical, very funny. Usually, you know, it's nice if they are. But at the same time, rather poignant story of a guy and his troubles with marriage, with two women.
So how recently did you become acquainted with the story? Fairly recently?
Oh, she sent it to me probably about a month ago. So then I usually read it kind of, you know, I'll read it once when I first get it just to check it out, and then I'll read it again leading up to the event, and then, you know, I'll read it the morning of, and you know, so I'm pretty familiar with it. But you don't want to get too familiar, because you still want to stay a little surprised by it yourself.
What do you think it is about Selected Shorts that works? Why does it work as a live presentation? And I say this also enjoying it, but taking the opposite tact of how I do feel will be dismissive of it. Why would I want to watch somebody just stand up there and read me a story?
Well, it's a great question. I feel like, you know, the things we believe don't work get proven to work over and over again. You know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, we all worried about the internet when it came along. You know, we all worried about television when it came along, you know, thinking this is going to take the place of film. This is going to take the place of sitting in a theater with a bunch of people and watching something. This is going to, you know, we're always worried about those things, but archetypally or something, there are certain things that just as a species we really like to do. It's why these spoken word and storytelling series are so popular in New York and different cities, and, you know, The Moth and things like that. I think people just loved, because there's always a bit of danger too, you know, that even if it's scripted, you know, there's a chance people may mess up. There's a chance people might go up or don't, you know, suddenly find themselves not knowing what they're doing, meaning the entertainer. And I think that gives the audience a kind of a thrill. At the same time, if the entertainer is good, which they usually are, you find yourself, as you say, kind of going in with an attitude like, why should this be interesting to me? All right, I'll check it out. And because of the talent of the writer, usually, and then hopefully the reader, you are totally, it's like anybody, it's like your uncle telling a great story. 20 minutes goes by and suddenly you do not want to move and you want to find out what happens, and you laugh or you are scared, you know, whatever it is. And I think we all love that possibility.
You just mentioned performing in Great Barrington in the Berkshires before, and you have, of course, performed a number of times at the Williamstown Theater Festival, which is where I've been fortunate to meet you before now. Is there anything in particular special about Berkshire audiences?
I think I would be kissing up.
It's a question that would lead you to, wouldn't it?
Exactly. To say that there is, but of course there is. You know, and I wonder if that has more to do with me than the audiences, although I feel that way about Massachusetts audience, too, first of all, because in Boston, too, they're great. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They seem to be really smart. They seem to be relatively happy to be there. You know, sometimes you can be in the theater or doing something at a certain place and you feel like people are there because they feel like it's the thing to do as opposed to, you know, why they're there, having a good reason to be there just because they like it. And I've always felt that at Williamstown. I've always felt that at the Huntington. I've always felt it in Great Barrington. And also, it's not easy to go out all the time, especially if you do readings in the winter or the hot summer. You know, people are like doing other things, whatever. And so if they're there, it's because they want to be. And I think that's, and certainly around Great Barrington, you know, you could be outside, which is a great thing to do and a place to be when you're there. And they're not. Plus, there's all walks of life up there, I feel like. You know, it's kind of an artist community, but it's also a sort of a blue-collar community. It's a farming community, and it's a rich community. So all those things come together. It's probably what your audience is based on, and a lot of thoughtful, kind of interested people, I think.
Do you mind doing some advanced plugging for a movie you're directing and acting in, an adaptation of a Joan Didion novel, A Book of Common Prayer? I was wondering if you'd tell me a little bit about that project.
Well, that's very nice of you to ask. We don't have our money yet. It's one of those projects that I seem constantly to be attracted to because it's thoroughly, uncommercial and difficult, but that's why I'm attracted to it. But it is something I'm attached to direct, and Christina Hendricks, the actress, has been attached in it and for about a year and a half now. We're still trying to get the money, but it's a beautiful novel from like the late 70s by Joan Didion that takes place in a make-believe Central American country, and it's really about two American women who meet there, and it's not at all like most of Joan Didion. I think it's smart, it's incredibly sharp, and it's quite frightening, actually. You know, the people get themselves into or find themselves in situations that are almost become impossible to extract themselves from. So it's a pretty cool, very, as I say, very challenging thing to try to make in a movie form. But, you know, that's why I'd just, you know, act for the money or do plays and things and things like that to direct. You really, if you're going to work that long on something, you want to be challenged like that.
So what can we do today to help you get the money?
All I need is $2.8 million, Sarah.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. Anybody, you can call me at the radio station. I'm sure you'll pass along the information.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll shoot you an email. I was like, we got it.
We got it. Thank you.
Well, I hope to see it.
I love it. I love to do it so much. It's so different from acting. It always teaches you more about acting or writing or anything, you know, to go through the whole process and make and edit and even, you know, try to get a movie out there. And the ones, as I say, that I make are usually not, you know, easily pin-downable or, you know, they're not genres that are, you know, kind of easy. And I love doing that. I love it. There's nothing like it.
Campbell, thank you so much for calling in today and have a great time with the Mahawi this weekend.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for helping us out.
Campbell Scott joins Kate Burton and Jane Curtin reading for selected shorts at the Mahawi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts this Saturday night. For more information, visit mahawi.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.